July 12th, Board of SCAC. And now we are going to say the Pledge of Allegiance. Please stand if you're able to.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Dave. Would you please resume roll call?
Roll call. Lynn Dunaway, absent. Dean Hernandez, absent. Meredith Chalini.
Present.
Present. Evelyn Gilbert, absent. Barbara Sloan, absent. Sandy Stang.
Present.
Present. Dave Petzold, present. Madam Chair, we do not have a quorum.
Thank you.
Two, three. Oh, it's 50-50.
Now we're on the public comment. At this time, members of the public may address the board regarding any item within the subject matter jurisdiction, provided that no action is taken on off-agenda items unless authorized by law. Do we have any members of the public present? Thank you. Now we're on to number five, Office on Aging Updates with Claudia Harris.
All right, well,
Hi, Claudia.
Hi. Well, thank you. As you are aware, Ms. Pauline Coleman could not be present with us today, so I am covering in her absence, but also more than happy to provide some updates that I know that we've been pending. Thank you so much for those of you that I believe many of you during our SAC general meeting this past July advanced Osceola County's vendor for the Older Needs Assessment gave a wonderful presentation. Lots of wonderful engagement, lots of SCAC members representing their own agencies and city entities have came forth to coordinate, to be able to participate in forums, to potentially host some community forums at their respective agencies and their cities. So it's just very nice to see such a wonderful receive and engagement from staff members. So I just really wanted to acknowledge that and say thank you. I know the VANCC is trying very hard to reach countywide stakeholder engagement. So we're on our way there. We'll definitely provide with future SCAP meetings, right, updates as where we are and share that as much as possible. It is a county effort. It is not just the Office on Aging, right? It is our county partners as well. Leading the efforts to coordinate all opportunities to ensure that this older needs assessment or the development of the MPA is successful and we have some good information data to analyze and help us guide us forth on what we should be focusing on.
And we need to use that for our committee for sure.
Yes, absolutely. The other update, and I believe actually is part of the discussion items. Miss Pauline, just FYI, she is going to be out for a little bit of time, unknown, but at least probably the next week or two. So very possible she might not be attending the next committee is Housing and Transportation, I want to say. So most likely I will be present to cover for her until further notice. And that's all I have for updates.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Claudia.
Actually, let me take that back because it's not on the discussion item.
Okay.
A quick update on the bylaws. I have them back. Pauline and I have looked. We've responded to all our county council's comments and or recommendations so that we can implement that as soon as I get a chance to make sure that we did all our responses and it looks good. We will be sure to send it to the executive committee so that you can move it forth then and present it to the SCAP. If there are any recommendations from there as to edits, changes and whatnot that may warrant county council to just confirm, then we'll share it back to county council before we can take it to the board to adopt the new amendments.
So when we do that, it's too late for August, so.
What?
I'm so sorry.
When will this be reviewed by the full body?
That's what I think we're trying to do. So if we can get that to you Yeah, it might be September then by the time you bring it and have the opportunity to bring it to.
Because we're going to meet again in August. So I guess we should agendize that for the August executive committee to review.
Yes.
The
okay. I would make that recommendation.
So did you get fairly good response?
It was just formatting, language, clarification, use of terms, words, processes, just to make sure that they're clear.
So no big challenge?
None.
Beyond the bylaws, so we'll review the bylaws of the executive committee and then also consider the ad hoc committee's recommendation to eliminate for now the standing committees and have a longer monthly meeting so everyone can hear all the content.
And it's not so much it's a longer meeting, it's just we're duplicating.
But it may be longer if we have more subject matter.
Did I just hear you say eliminating three subcommittees?
Yes. That was the bylaws committee. So
that's our recommendation.
To be efficient.
I found it was a lot of repetition. I'm going to three meetings now and I'm hearing the same things over and over. I mean, not everybody's on three committees. And we're sharing the speakers. So if we're sharing the speakers, what are we accomplishing? That was our thought.
Good. But you're on the bottom three. So that's, yeah, I'm hearing some things that I think are quite shocking.
Well, you should ask Meredith as she was trying to recruit people. This is how it really got started. Meredith, tell them how you were.
Yeah, we were trying. Jean and I became chair and vice chair, and we needed to recruit two new committee chairs. And we talked to about 10 people, and no one wanted to do it because they didn't understand the meaningfulness of these committees and how they connected to General SCAC and what we were trying to get done. It seems segmented and not useful.
I'm just thinking there's going to be some backlash.
Well, that's fine. And if everyone decides that they don't want to do it, then they don't need to do it. But we then need those people that don't want things to change to step up.
Right, exactly. That's a good point. But you're going to have some immediate feedback.
Oh, we know that.
Just when the bylaws go up.
We said that immediately.
Yeah.
And actually, it was Crystal Miles that came up with this.
I think it just seems kind of ironic because we went through the bylaw changes that county was forcing.
Yeah.
Why didn't we make those changes then?
Because I didn't
think we could make changes.
Right.
And all of a sudden, the executive committee puts it in their powers to make bylaw changes without even submitting it to the full body before it is submitted to anybody else.
Well, what happened was that Jean and I met with Claudia's boss before Claudia arrived. And she said, you don't have to do things this way. You guys can reimagine this. It can be more efficient. It can be modernized. Everything is at your discretion. And I don't think people had heard that before.
No. And we had never been told that bylaws can be gone through and challenged or changed. That's how that got started. Just because you've written it down.
I'm just concerned about the process that we've gone through, that the executive board made all the recommendations that went to county.
Not the executive board.
Without review of the other members of.
No, the executive board didn't have anything to do with it. Well, Jean appointed the ad hoc committee, which is the advice that we got from the Office on Aging.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then the ad hoc committee should have been, my understanding, feeling it should have been presented to the full committee, of course. And that's where I think you're going to get a lot of backlash, just forewarned.
That's okay. We follow the advice of the Office on Aging to the best of our ability. I'm hoping that we'll have a good discussion and that if there is backlash,
will be a discussion.
Yes, that those people will want to have an active role and not just be showing up.
See, that was the other part. We have a lot of people that just show up, don't do anything.
Yeah.
I saw it running housing and transportation. So they show up, they don't really do anything. They don't participate. Let's say they don't even participate. They don't have to, of course, but they don't participate in the big stat committee. So what are we accomplishing? They get the really good information and they keep it.
Yeah, I think over the last couple of years, we had like a probably 20 to 30% attrition rate of people that were excited to join SCAC and then they would leave because they didn't they didn't know what they were accomplishing.
Well, that's the problem with SCAC, my understanding for since inception.
That's what we're trying.
That's what we're trying to fix.
But that process has been part of the boundaries established by county too. And that before we can do anything, we have to have the Board of Supervisors approved. There's things that we could do if we didn't have to have Board of Supervisors before we could do it. But when we make a recommendation, it's taken 9-10 months before it trickles back down to us. And my understanding with the Older Americans Act, this is supposed to be an independent agency and not controlled by the county or the Board of Supervisors. And that's the cut. That's the sense I had working with Office on Aging in Wisconsin. But we still had the same problem where supervisors were influencing our decisions without the independence that we thought we should have.
Mm. And I think that's
a problem with almost every Office on Aging. And advising.
And I can share some insight in that it's not unique to just this county.
No,
it's
not unique to this state.
Yes. And you know, you mentioned the Older Americans Act, and I know that's one of the discussion items. And in the Older Americans Act, it has language in there in terms of the body as an advisory board of the advisory councils, of like senior citizens advisory councils. And because they are not considered a governing board, then yes, that then kind of leads their role to be more of an advisory and guidance for the entities of the AAAs, where the AAAs across the state are governed differently. And their organizational structures are different across the state, where some of them are independent nonprofit entities. There are some like very much here in the south of our state and south counties, they're tied to county entities. So then our agency is also then governed by Board of Supervisors, right? So then it trickles from there. It is a common being across the state where our advisory councils have that challenge of where to, what are we achieving, how to determine, you know, how to stay engaged and then what to and where do we see results. It is. And I think this body here, you have wonderful members here trying to figure out a best way to shift that. That's definitely not unique just to our advisory council. Takes a little bit of engagement, right? Takes a little bit of to do and as advisory and together, but then also individually as you're in your communities and what does that need to look like. Where we have our, you know, opportunities for great partnerships and to do is exactly that, you as a body, advisory council body, to give us advice of what you're seeing and hearing, concerns, community and needs and whatnot, so that it can help our Office on Aging when we are trying to think about program needs, or do we need this type of service, or do we need to expand here, or do we need to address, you know, gaps and services. And if there is something that Office on Aging ourselves as an office is not able to make a decision on, that at least we know and we have all the information needed to be advocate up to our county leadership. So then that in itself is a process, right? So, but I hear you in terms of that, but I think you have a lot of wonderful energy in this group here in the executive and dearful SCAP members. We're very active in the community, so there's lots of great opportunities. It's just figuring out what that needs to look like, right? How to shift it. And clearly it's not gonna shift overnight. It was something that we've been dealing with for many years, but little by little, you know, exercising some of these ideas and expressing those needs and seeking that engagement from your members.
I think it's different after the pandemic too.
Switched the parameters.
Yeah.
I think that people are less willing now to want to go to 3 meetings that can't be on Zoom.
It's true.
Yeah.
You're finding that all across the board.
And that's not that's the society.
Right.
Even people going to work are like,
no one wants to go to work in person. No.
But definitely, we see that in our own workforce.
Claudio and I joined Housing and Transportation, and we had the same person in charge for, I want to say, 10 years or more. And then something had one of those meetings where everything started getting changed. We liked this change, where every 2 years you had to change people that were in positions, right?
Yeah.
Because change is good for everybody, even though sometimes we don't like it.
Yeah.
But that was a good thing that came out of that.
It helps bring different points of view, different perspectives, right? When you add that level of diversity.
When I hire people, what I noticed is they ask different questions because they don't, you don't know what you don't know, right? So new people ask different kinds of questions.
And I also think that one of the things that I would like to see is that when you try to explain our structure to a new person, that's where I got like, oh my gosh, you have to go here and then you go there and how do they interact? I couldn't explain it well to a newcomer. So kind of.
Of course, I was used to it to start with. It was a new experience for me, but the same experience. You know?
But I think when I heard Meredith talk and Crystal talk, and I'm like, okay, we just accepted this. This is the way it's been. They started asking really good questions, like why? And when you start people from the outside saying why, it's hard. I couldn't give them an answer. Why?
Yeah, why do I go there and we only talk about it for 2 minutes at the big meeting and then we work all year long to give a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors and then we don't hear back from them? Like, that's not fulfilling to people.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm just saying, yeah, healthy interest.
We'll watch the fireworks, Dave.
I won't bring the managers.
Thank you.
You'll bring the extinguisher, right?
Well, we all have
symbolically, that might be pretty good to do.
Well, I have a history with extinguishers. We had an annual meeting every year, 800 people, over a 4 or 5 day period. And every year, had me, fire alarm, go off in one of our meetings. And so there's a massive evacuation. So last year I was there, our meeting was in California. So I come out on stage, all dressed up in a fire.
Oh, that's awesome. That's,
I'm not taking any chances.
Do you still have the outfit?
No, it was one of our members.
Okay. Something. I was going to say, you can wear it to the meeting.
Okay, so you're up next, Dave, with SCAC attendance update.
Yeah, attendance updates. Everything looks fine. The only question I have is with Charlene Ashendorf. Did she come off and then come back on?
Yes.
So coming back on, she starts clean slate.
Yes.
She's been there. So.
Yes. And then hopefully with our bylaws changes, we won't have to have this procedure with the out. We still will do attendance, but not the hours. Hopefully, fingers crossed. So everyone's good?
Okay.
Awesome. Okay, discussion items. discuss process for facilitating requests for information by staff members to the Office on Aging. So it's come to our attention that certain staff members are engaging directly with Office on Aging staff and the Board of Supervisor staff and not going through a traditional chain of command or using the committee structure or the meeting structure. To communicate and to request information, which I understand is taxing on staff time. So do we want to reiterate what the process is?
Yes, so, and this kind of goes back to what we used to always do, but then this is why we brought it forth, like we might want to think about, well, is it working the way it used to be, but make it more efficient? A lot of the information that comes forth or have been coming forth is also information that potentially could benefit the rest of the staff members to have. Obviously, you know, our whole goal of Office on Aging is that any information we provide, share it who is the advisory committee, because if one or two are asking, chances are that's beneficial information for everyone. Whenever you can imagine every SCAP member at different entities at different times seeking, asking for information, it can take up a lot of hours of time and trying to respond and seek information or gather the data needed. And so we thought, let's bring it forth to the executive committee so that we can figure out traditionally in history, if you should went through the request, the SCAP member or any SCAP member can go to the executive committee via chair or vice chair, express the need for information, and that the executive committee will discuss and bring it forth to Office on Aging, give us some time that we can say, oh, we can have that to you by an estimated amount of time and provide that to be able to share back. But does that work? Is that working? Is that efficient? Let's talk about it. Let's discuss. Definitely for us is, in this case, the person in Office on Aging that helps me with that process is Pauline as the liaison to our SCAP members. So any information, and not always does, let's say, Pauline as manager have everything being asked for like at her hands. So she has to seek consult with the rest of the appropriate staff and managers who manage the programs as well. And so sometimes that can take a little time. And I think what was happening is that staff members weren't maybe understanding the time that it also takes and what data.
Is this a one person issue at this point, or is it far reaching?
So far, most recently, it was from one member. But it was numerous after. And so when we try to advise to let's go, because some of this information actually is going to be good for the SCAP executive committee and or the SCAP members to have, to be aware of, let's funnel the information that way. And so we receive some assistance there. And so I thought, let's bring it to the table. Let's discuss it. Let's figure out if that process still would flow. That way we can make sure that as
that it should go to the executive committee, forward it on or whatever, and then it could become a part of the meeting if it's something important.
Yeah.
And then you're right, it could be shared with everybody.
Right.
So I think it should be on agenda that we discuss with everyone, and as a reminder that this is the power of direction, or whatever you call that.
Because if there's any particular information that we definitely want to bring it right to the full members,
right,
I make sure that we do it with appropriate communication. Where if it's just information, whether all based on the information being asked, maybe there's some decisions to make. So we would want to be able to funnel that so that we know what appropriate action, if any. If it's just information for informational purposes, then of course that we would funnel through, you know, our distribution mail and we share it if the executive says, oh yeah, that's great, let's share it with everyone. We can definitely meet to that, right? I'll need to share it with everyone. But if it's something that you actually want to bring forth after SCAC and have a discussion about it, then that's where I think funneling the requests, like individual members' requests for information or data, for example, come through the executive committee and then to us, because then at that point, you all can advise and guide us and say, this is information we actually would like for SCAC to have. And then we can then gather and plan for that.
So when new people join, are they given any information or guidelines as to things like this? Thank you. Because that should be in writing. You know, here's our policies and procedures, whatever you want to call it. Because I know when I joined, I was told you cannot just call the Office on Aging and ask any question. But I was told that verbally. No, it was in the right way. It wasn't like,
yeah.
It was just like, you just can't, they're busy and they're working. So you have to direct your question in the right manner. It wasn't that you couldn't ask a question, it's directed in the correct manner. I never took it as an offense. I knew exactly what they were saying.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that, Sandy, because many a times as you're out in the communities, you might just have a general question about a program or how to get a hold of who is the provider for a service. And we have information and assistance call center for specifically those purposes. But now we have a in our new structure and our growth, we have a liaison who can actually get that information. If it's just a quick, what's the phone number to get a hold of? If it's something very simple.
Right. And that would be good.
Where,
add in there.
Where it can take a little bit longer effort, it's a like particular set of data, programming, planning, things that, oh, we need to go back and go through our archives to look for that information, right? That's where I think it was becoming, it was the sense of the urgency and us saying, give us time, let's go back, because this is not something that's readily available. We need a little time to do
it. I think the orientation would be great after our whole body decides how we're moving forward. Then we'll all be on the same page, and then when new people join.
Yeah, and members of our
community. Yes.
And Claudia, you know, I feel like I'm part of the problem here. Just working with Pauline in regards to the confidential marriage proposal that I'm putting together with senior legislature. You know, she was a great resource, and a resource that I don't think anybody else had. But I'm trying to keep it to a minimum of what her input should be or the time that she spent on it.
Right. Yeah, I don't want to volunteer as an executive board member, honestly, to be the funneler. No, I don't like that myself. I don't have time for that. I don't, if we have someone that wants information every 3 hours, I don't want to be the person that's getting those emails.
No.
Oh, no.
So I apologize for that.
Thank you. Thank you. And no, there really isn't a need. I think there was a very professional, like, you know, forum and communication with Pauline. And when Pauline maybe needed some guidance, she comes to me and she says, where could I best or how or talk to get this answered?
Skills.
Oh, absolutely.
That were not present
previously. Absolutely.
When you find someone with those skills,
yes.
You kind of focus more.
And that's okay. And that's okay, because then she can then help guide on, this should be best to bring it to the SCAP, or this should be best to address it at the sex.
So this is more one person's personality that has been disruptive. I wonder if we want to talk about it and make it a thing.
Instead of saying, this might be one member's personality, I think it would be beneficial as a whole for everyone to know and understand the process, and especially new members, so that they know which way, and that eliminates a little bit of that confusion and where do I go.
I suggest tabling this, though, until we figure out what our new way of being is, or if we're keeping the old way, and then we create an orientation as it's part of it.
I apologize to Pauline.
Yeah, I think that, as we were trying to move forward, we thought, maybe we should bring it back to the table so we can discuss it, so that because we want to be diligent about responding and providing and guiding in the right direction, right? As we are seen as the subject matter experts.
But if all 40 of us keep calling you with questions, how are you ever going to do your job?
Thank goodness we're not calling them.
It's one person.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, then,
this goes back to my popcorn theory.
What's your popcorn theory?
I used to work in an office and only one person burnt the popcorn. And then instead of just telling that person they couldn't have popcorn, no one could have popcorn.
That's the first time. That analogy.
I can't do something. I still like popcorn.
It's another story than popcorn. We live next to a retirement center.
Yeah.
And all the time, fire alarms are going up. The fire department is showing up, and so forth. And there's one occasion where I met with the fire chief. We had a program going on. Say driving and so forth like that. I asked the fire chief, I said, what's going on over at our place? And he says, they're putting the popcorn in the microwave and starting smoke fires all the time.
I remember that every time we eat popcorn.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't want to have a popcorn theory situation where we're doing a bunch of...
Well, then maybe we just talk to the individual. Because I was going to bring up, we're having problems with appropriate with the presentations of all the questions. Mm-hmm. And I was going to suggest we ask everybody to write their questions down.
That popcorn situation?
It might be.
Yeah. But I think that we could memorialize a lot of these things in the orientation, and maybe we could have a presentation for everyone that's currently in SCAC to get oriented so that we're all on the same page all at once. Mm-hmm. And then we can use that information with individuals when they join. So then it's not like we're having a special, like, that's just my idea.
Okay.
Okay. The AC, so now we're on to 7B, discuss the ACL public comment period for the updates to the Older Americans Act regulation. So this is, they say it's a once in a generation opportunity to provide comments. I don't think that it's been done since 1988 or something.
1988.
Something like that, late 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And so the question on the table is, after the Orange County Office on Aging collaborates with C4A, individual members might be able to obtain information and put in your own comments if you'd like to. But you're planning on making comments on
behalf of the county? Yes. Okay. So I do have an update on that. We have consulted, of course, with our county legislative managers in terms of best guidance to provide for our advisory. So one option is, as your own individuals, just like we all are, as we've mentioned before, can go ahead and provide public comments. If you would like to jointly, as an advisory council, provide that, then the best avenue would be to put that together, although understanding this came and it was a very short time frame, put your comments, consolidate comments together, and provide that to us via Pauline. We are submitting also our comments, which we already started doing, so in sharing some of our recommendations, clarifications, and whatnot with the California Association of Area Agency on Aging. They have a legislative committee that's putting all of it together. They have also shared all other AAA's comments with us, and jointly, the C4A is going to be submitting. They're on a very tight deadline, you can imagine, soliciting comments across. They want to be able to have it all finalized by August 11th, which means we would want to provide and have everything ready to go. If there's anything you'd like to add, definitely comments from the advisory council, and of course our own staff that have provided responses and feedback to the C4A legislative committee to do so. So in doing that, I know that with a tight time frame, it will be up to your committee to kind of make that recommendation, given that by the time you have your next SCAC and you say that it's like the time has passed, you know, the deadline's getting fast approaching.
But would you be able to share like the Google Doc of whatever the comments are so that we could adapt it as individuals?
Yeah, I can share. Yeah, I can definitely share that, because it's really just taking the sections of highlighting sections that have been, adjusted in the overview. I believe that was part of the packet, right, for today's meeting. I can share it electronically, but the comments form is very simple. So I did print, because I don't think that was in their packets. So let me share that with you. It's very simple, and I can definitely send this electronically if you want to take a look at it and, you know, notate it here and send it in to us. So and after this meeting, because I realized when I looked at the packet, it wasn't in there. So in looking at the calendar, we really have technically 2 weeks to provide any comment if you would like to do so in that forum, which means you might have to just individually then send probably an email if anyone would like to share it as part of the advisory council, to send it that way, and then we can take that up. or obviously communicate that they can do so as an individual basis. We just had such a short amount of time to go through this and the timelines of our SCAC meetings.
I'm basically interested as an individual in signing on to the use of it, so that's why I would just like to basically piggyback on what's being created.
Okay. Yeah, definitely share that. I can share it because it is for public comments.
Yeah.
It's really looking at, and a lot of those comments also come from the perspective of programming, right? And impacts and clarifications. A lot of our comments is clarifying the recommended proposals. Anything from the AAA to how govern with other entities to partnerships to when we go out for request proposals, what does that look like? So a lot of it so far has been on that end from the AAA's perspective and impact. So, and a few just clarifying questions, like worded this way, if there's a lot of room for interpretation.
Someone told me that one of the things that people are in support of is that the definition for highest need is going to possibly expand to social need and not just economic need.
Yes, yes. So there's some comments there. So we are definitely in review of that too. I did join the legislative committee discussion on all the areas. We collectively, as a committee with C4A, all agreed on what items we want to submit. And so we, Office on Aging, myself there as representing our office, definitely provided that feedback there and added to that discussion. However, we still have a little bit of time. So C4A said, take some more time. If there's anything else we've missed, you want to keep adding to this list. It is quite lengthy. It's been growing. And so if there's anything else as I'm reading through that goes, oh, wait, I want to add this, we still have that opportunity. So I wanted to bring it to this discussion so that if you would like to share your comments with us as well, you can include it.
I know that I got together with Holly Hadler from Meals on Wheels, Orange County, and she was saying that they're concerned about the grab and go, but I don't know enough about it to know how that would impact the comments.
Why is she concerned about it?
Because the grab and grow had great participation in North Orange County during the pandemic, and then when it was scaled back, they'll have people that are coming for fewer meals. So then the question is, are we not serving the community adequately like we did during the pandemic? For people that are at risk of not having the nutrition and things. Congrats. I think that something changed, right? The grab and go.
They're placing it because before that was not part of the programming request,
right.
So required. Okay. Now it is proposed as required, like a program requirement. So, and that actually is going to also. Now, oh, I guess I should have done that in the updates, but our nutrition request for proposal just opened on the 26th, so Wednesday. It is open. We're accepting, you know, bids, proposals, applications for nutrition program. And that is a new component because the state was able to advocate and we have funding to be able to provide that flexibility of grabbing for meals. Because before, it wasn't required. Now, it is still not required, but strongly recommended, and there's funding to support it. So that is a new one. We decided here that it was best to reach as many and serve community and as much flexibility as possible. So we did add that to our new request for proposals from the official office. And that's just one example of some like the comments, right? That we can find or clarification. It's not so much of a agree or disagree kind of common request. It's more of need further clarification or this would be fine or that type of thing. I think if that is the case, then maybe an email communication to the full stack. We can lay out here the options if you'd like to also turn you individually, maybe if that makes it faster. Individually, so your comments.
Yes, no one wants to collate that.
Yeah. Exactly. And because you don't have a lot of time.
Right.
We don't have a lot of time.
Yes.
This was very fast, and even C4A and the rest of the the counties, especially here south, and there's definitely a few up north that are coming together and they're going, oh my God, hurry up. We have a lot of time. Yeah.
Yeah, the state just gave me yesterday, I think, until August 11th for a set of comments. I'm like, August 11th, look at the date.
Yeah.
7/28 already. That's crazy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much. That's really awesome that we'll be able to get that information and be able to give our input. Okay, then the next discussion item is one that I placed on here to discuss the Healthier at Home pilot program. This was my baby when I worked at Life Steps. I took like 8 years to get this into state pilot program. So the long and short of it is that 8 counties are going to be getting a RN and a community health worker to provide navigation and affordable housing, and we're one of the counties. So I'm excited about that. I wanted to bring that to the board's attention. Pauline went to the CBA webinar on this, and hopefully we'll be able to just kind of see how it works in Orange County and see if it's something that we can have for the long haul.
And my understanding for the Healthier at Home is who can apply, like what entities can apply. It's the housing entities. It's your housing
and nonprofits
projects, nonprofits that provide housing, and or county entities, housing programs such as our county's housing and community development. So that is something that I will be sharing with our sister agency in terms of housing, just to bring it to their awareness. If it hasn't been brought to their awareness, say, hey, you know, something to consider, look at, maybe you want to, you know, give a little bit more history. So we'll definitely be sharing, because I know once that grant opens up, we want to make sure that there's adequate time planning for it. So, and obviously any community-based organization that provides housing and housing programs or projects, and also outside.
So this isn't just private homes, this is like assisted living and
all. No, it's
low-income affordable housing programs.
Mm-hmm. Like actual buildings. So
right.
the RN and the community health worker will go to the building and help the residents that live there.
Okay. Got it.
It's really geared towards bringing like case management, education, like connecting individuals to their resources and services within.
I just won an award for this at UCLA. So I created this program
in
Sacramento. Yeah. So that was fun.
So you are the subject matter expert and can educate us on all
of
us here. But really, in a sense, it is really to support individuals in the housing to be able to stay in place, healthy, and access.
Yeah, the reason we created it when I was with Life Steps is that 20% of the residents were moving out for health-related concerns, and they often have low health literacy. And a lot of them are just above the Medi-Cal limit, so they don't get all those programs. So
kind of get lost.
Yeah, they're really very vulnerable.
And when you think about you think about our older adults, as their needs increase and they don't know how or where or how to connect to
navigation
services at home, right? And then it leads to out of home placement into a higher level of care, which costs the state more.
Right,
it's more expensive,
right.
But much healthier to be within your community and have a little more dignity. So this type of programs.
So the RN would be coordinating, helping them.
Yes.
God.
And then my company, Leading Age California, is also trying to do a program that's even more intensive in this LA County. And the state's working with us to pilot that. And that would be paid for by Medicare and Medi-Cal. So it's a multi-payer system for everyone living in affordable housing to have this navigation. So it's pretty cool.
Good.
Yeah, it's really cool. And I'm glad that I was like, make sure Orange County is one of the counties.
Okay.
I'm in here.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
I was like, yeah, Orange County. Thank you, Meredith.
Yeah,
you're adding too. That's good.
Yeah, well, it makes me very happy because I used to do direct service in affordable housing in Orange County. And I got to see firsthand the needs of people that were living in those apartments that couldn't afford assisted living, that didn't want to go to a nursing home, and that were not living very safely. So hopefully we can make it work and have it be long-term. Okay, so I don't think that we can do number 8, correct, Monica?
Right.
Okay, so we'll skip number 8. So now we're on to number 9, chair report. The only old business that I wanted to talk about is the senior center assignments. Patty Mouton did send that email about people wanting to claim their first and second choices for senior center assignments. So that seems like it's going well. Hopefully people reply to that. And they're also trying to get a hold of the new staff for all these senior centers. She's having her interns work on that. So that's great. So that's another huge lift that we're working on. Let's see, number 10, standing committee update. The standing committees continue. It seems like things are going well. I don't have anything specific to report, but presentations are occurring. People are going. I think we're getting forums now that we weren't before, so that's good. All right. 11, members in good standing. Dave.
Yeah, I don't. There's no problems with you. We make changes that eliminated some of the people and new members starting and those that continue. There's only two people that have missed two meetings. And then we solved the part with Charlene. So everybody's in good standing.
That's wonderful. I think that the people that weren't able to make it now aren't part of SCAC anymore. And so we don't have any of those lingering issues that we had in the past.
So what is it? Three consecutive?
Yes.
Four total?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think that we're doing better about communicating to people when they're near problems.
Oh, is that going to change that for you?
I don't know. We'll have to see what happens.
We'll have to see.
Extinguisher.
There's one subject I'm starting to fire.
I think that it's really helpful, though, to get your feedback, because I think we want to frame it with we want to attract new members as time goes along. We want things to be efficient and as meaningful as possible. And so that was our intent, nothing else.
And then we want to attract new members, which of course is important, but we want to keep our current members engaged.
Yes.
Engaged.
Retain people. Yes.
Not just showing up. Not that we would say that.
Yeah. But we have a really good group right now. So
we do.
Yeah. Any announcements?
You have 3 minutes each, Dave and Fanny.
No, I guess the only announcement that I'm aware of, the governor did sign California State Legislative Funding Bill.
Good.
So we are funded through 2038 or something, 2030. And that's
2030? Oh, I'm not challenging you. I'm serious, because that's a long time.
Yeah, I know. It seemed like a long time. But that's for the tax write-off.
Oh, okay.
For that. That was still on the tax write-off.
That's good that you don't have to go up to bat again for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's other funding as you are. There's always funding. And I will not be available for the next campaign. I'll be out of town. And I'm trying to get Elizabeth to take roll call. She's going to be done too. So that's all on that. And we can have a staff member take roll call. What you can find.
One thing I have is I think I have the calendar of speakers finished for the rest of the year.
Awesome.
And I'm supposed to get with Pauline. She said she needed it right away. The next speaker is Patty, and she wanted her presentation. And then I will, I'm just telling you this in case she's not around. And then I'll send her an email today now that I have just talked to that person. Charlene and I were communicating on her speech. She was upset. She wouldn't be able to introduce them. She's going to miss that meeting. She wanted January. And I said, believe it or not, I already have something for January because my speech couldn't do the rest of the year. So she acquiesced and said, well, okay, somebody else can introduce her speaker. So I think we've got it done for this year and then we have January set up.
Awesome. Well, then.
I've got one of the Carolyn Edmund, when she left, she was also representative for TAC. So we have to find a replacement for TAC. And I'm not sure if that's through the county. Is it through who makes the appointment on that? Is the SCAC make that appointment?
I don't know how that works.
The appointment to?
TAC.
To the transportation?
Yeah. It's the transportation.
No, it's something else.
Yeah.
It's the advisory committee for the advisory committees, isn't it?
Yeah. The advisory committees for Office on Aging.
Yeah.
Is it 10?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
Because
I
got
familiar.
I've got a box of material that you gave me.
And she wasn't a good advertiser for that committee. So
well, she wasn't on it that long.
Yeah, but she said that she didn't know what the purpose of it was.
Well, not being on it for a long time.
Yeah. So we need to find that before
Elizabeth,
we
Elizabeth would be a good resource because she was attacked right before, but so, and I know she's proposing you around anything.
I would like to know what the acronym stands for and the time commitment. We need to find all of that out.
So I'm not sure if that should be at the next SCAP meeting or the next executive.
I'm not sure either, Claudia.
I would put it under discussion at the next executive.
Okay. And I'll bring the box.
Okay.
There's probably five or six files.
Yeah. Oh.
Who are the members?
It's interesting. You have all this, not you, but all this information we have, but we don't know what it is.
We always had it on the agenda for a report. Yeah, you look at the
last and just kind of minutes
for the last agendas for particularly
Carolyn told me that she was going to these meetings. I guess it was not long, and then she would write up the minutes and turn them in, and then we never talked about it much here, and it seemed like it was just a black hole, which is kind of what we're trying to avoid overall. So we need to figure out.
I'll do some research kind of put together what the purpose of it.
Yes.
Who would represent?
And we probably want to pull in someone that is new but doesn't have an assignment yet to do this, I would say.
Good idea.
Well,
I like that. Thank
you. Meaning not me and you.
Yeah.
Or me.
Okay. Yeah, you need to get your that's your focus. I guess my only announcement is that the legislature is on recess right now, but SB 525 did make it to the next appropriations meeting. So that's $25 an hour for healthcare workers, which is going to be a big deal for aging services providers to be able to stay in business. So that's something that
how much was it before?
There is no minimum wage.
There was no
minimum. There is a minimum wage, but not a specific healthcare minimum wage.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's going to really drive up the price of assisted living communities and skilled nursing if that passes, which will affect older adults. Mm-hmm. So we're watching that very carefully. We'll see what happens.
It's a funding issue. It's probably just going to go on the black hole.
Hope so. The governor doesn't want it.
He doesn't.
No, then he'll sign it off that there's nothing within the budget to support it.
But he doesn't want it to get to his desk.
Oh, okay.
He would rather not have to veto that. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Meeting is adjourned. Thank you. My first time using the gavel.
Yeah.